Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Now then, you're very welcome along to Monday Night Rugby. Very happy to say we have Keith Wood with us. Hello.
Hiya, Joe. How are you?
Very well. Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent, how are you?
Good, thanks, Joe.
By the by, Keith, just as an aside, in 1997, how did Lions find out? I presume, was Sky Sports News a thing? Were you all sitting around watching Sky Sports News? How did that happen?
Pigeon, for the most part.
Of course.
They did say it was teletext on for some of them. I was very nervously waiting. I can't remember how. I was nervous waiting, even though they'd said to me a month previously, you don't need to play matches to prove your fitness, you're going. But I don't believe anything until you're sitting on a plane. So I'm one of life's great cynics. So I didn't believe it. And of course, I was the last name out. And so it's a bit uncomfortable. W at the start of your name is not great. But and in 2001, it was slightly different again in that they asked, would I turn up for the event? I said, well, okay, I presume that means
good
I'm
chance.
Picked. So yeah, there's a good chance. So.
To be Keith Wood, huh? Nobody gets heads up, but you clearly got heads up both times. The haves and the have-nots.
I don't think that's what it is. I think it was... maybe it was that, yeah. we'll take that. It was funny. I watched this one. I watched the announcement.
Mm.
And I know some of the players, but I don't really know any of them well anymore. But I looked at it and said, yeah, this has to be pretty nerve-wracking. You know, this has to be an uncomfortable place to be. And especially if you're watching it with your friends, if you're at training or something like that and your name isn't called out. But I was also struck, sorry, you haven't said hi to Rory properly yet, but I was also struck by the reaction of some players. It's Lions is an unusual thing. It is for whatever a coach and coaching group thinks will work in a period of time to deliver the results that they want. It is entirely subjective to what they want. And I don't think you can ever be entitled to go on a Lions tour. And I think you have to take the view is that, God, I hope I get picked because I hope I fit into the plans. I hope they think my personality works or I'm a good tourist or that I won't get, you know, too downbeat if I'm not picked or whatever it is. I mean, I don't know that it goes down and stretches as fairness, but it's a fairly brutal thing that you do. But there's no entitlement because you play for your country. You're going to go on a Lions tour.
Mm. Rory, what struck you the most about it or what's the big head scratcher or the big takeaway?
Personally, I thought Kyle Sinclair was very, very hard done by. I'm a big admirer of his. He was on the bench for all three tests 4 years ago. And just from a rugby, you know, obviously we will hone in on the Irish guys and my job is to hone in the Irish guys. But just from a rugby point of view, from an age profile point of view, he would have made an awful lot of sense.
He was very upset, by the way. I'm sure you saw the interview over the weekend. He was man of the match for Bristol and very, very upset.
I think that spoke absolute volumes. As much as the videos of players being happy to go spoke volumes about what the Lions meant, I don't think anything spoke more about what the Lions means to players. I don't know, some people outside of rugby would go, ah, look, it's just a commercial exercise and it doesn't make any sense anymore. It makes sense it makes sense even though it doesn't make sense, if you know what I mean. And players really, really want to go on this. And Kyle Sinclair clearly is deeply, deeply upset by the fact that Warren Gatland isn't taking him this time. So that, from a rugby point of view, like he was nailed on. I think if every squad that was named across the 5 million squads that were named over the last couple of weeks, he would have been in every single one of them. It was a massive shock to see him left out.
Well, I'll come back to you on the rest of your takeaways, seeing as we mentioned Sinclair. Keith, do you want to give us the forwards assessment of why he wasn't taken? Is there a logic there somewhere?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of... I don't know, but I think he was get wound up quite easily. I think he stopped being wound up. So that would be a plus in his column. He's a very good ball playing tight head. He needs to be an unbelievable scrummaging tight head. Now, he's a good scrummager, but he needs to be an unbelievable scrummaging tight head. Like if I look at it, I never go into picking squads because I hate it. But once it's picked, you can kind of look at it. For me, it's Tadhg Furlan all day long because of the manner in which he can scrummage and also the other stuff that he can bring to it. I would have felt in the last year that Sinclair was trying to be a ball player far more than he was trying to be a big, hard, abrasive tight head. And it was funny because it's an argument I had with one of my sons, and he was trying to say, well, explain that to me properly. I said, well, if I have the ball and I'm running at you as hard as I possibly can, I'm a good ball playing forward if you and one of your friends go to tackle me, because you know you have to stop me, and I release the ball before contact. If I stop 5 yards from contact, do a pivot and pop it out the back, I'm not interesting anybody because I'm not fast enough to accelerate with my back to the opposition into a gap. And I think that's what's happened a little bit in trying to get those skill levels moved on. Sometimes you lose that little bit of confrontation, and you can have no hesitation for the fact that going to play in South Africa, it is dealing with a level of physicality that's on home turf. And the history of the Lions in South Africa, what they would put against the Lions players, that's what's paramount. So you do, like, you need to be smart and you need to be able to do, but you need to be able to do both. So what we saw in this Six Nations was when Ty got back to play, he was playing, my God, he was destructive. He also was using his feet. He was also flicking the ball out of the tackle. I would have said his level of physicality was far more significant than Sinclair's. And I just think that could be partly to do with how England have been playing and how they wanted Sinclair to play. That becomes an issue if your coach plays in a style that's entirely different from the Lions coach. That could be part of it. Look, I felt very sorry for him, but on the same token, he could be out in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
So yeah. I wouldn't be saying, it isn't that I wouldn't be saying anything about it. Of course you're upset. Everybody's upset if they don't get picked. Their pride's hurt.
Mm. Interesting. I hadn't heard that analysis of Sinclair's game. Rory, I interrupted you. So Sinclair for sure, and that's caught the headlines this weekend because of his interview. What else jumped out to you?
Well, I mean, the obvious Irish ones. I think what really is interesting about the Lions is that it exposes our, like, the Irish bubble. We watch them all the time. We analyze them all the time. We kind of know them. We think we know them anyway. And then you get Warren Gatland's view of the Irish game and where Ireland is strong and where Ireland is weak. And I think it's pretty interesting that Warren Gatland isn't taking Ireland's captain and vice captain and probably the Irish player of the year voted by the rugby writers and the players last year. Now, form and fitness have obviously played a role in the fact that Gary Ringrose, James Ryan and Johnny Sexton are not going. But I mean, I think we all, after the Six Nations, expected Sexton to go. I know his layoff since then has affected that. James Ryan, if you were naming a squad up until the point he got concussed against Wales, I think he was definitely going, and that's a massive fallout for him. And I think if he was doing an interview with anyone at the moment, he'd be in a pretty similar state of mind to Kyle Sinclair, because I would say the wind has been taken right out of his sails, and he's going to take some managing for the next while. And I hope he has good people around him, because that's a big blow to him, because he is a generational player. And Ringrose, you know, is a player that, like, starts when fit for Ireland, but isn't deemed good enough to go, even though the other two centres there. So there's two centres going and two second rows going. You would never have said Ringrose and Ryan would be the ones staying at home. And it's just, it's a massive punch in the gut for those players. And it's interesting what it says about, obviously it's a point in time and it's based on form and fitness, but it's interesting what it says about the Irish team and how coaches who've coached against the Irish players view Ireland right now. It didn't help them that their own coaches weren't in the room. I think there probably wasn't helped by the fact that the Leinster scrum coach was making the decision and two Leinster props are going as well. But I thought that was very interesting. I thought some of the stuff about Sexton was over the top. I completely understand why Gatland's not taking him. I understand why he's not taking Ryan and Ringrose as well, based on current form, even though I think they can all play themselves into form by the time the test series arrived and could all have a massive role to play if they were selected. Mm. But if you were picking at Lions 15 right now, I don't think that if Sexton was fit and firing, I probably would have him in there, but he's not. And there's a massive question mark over his fitness. And like, I don't think Ryan at the moment is there. I think La Rochelle exposed that. I think Gatland saw that and wrote him off as a result. And hopefully Ryan can channel that and bring it, you know, Ireland will reap the benefit of them all having the summer off this summer. So and then there's like Jack Conan, probably a player that's not rated as highly here as he is elsewhere. Mm. Like Ronan O'Gara said, stop Henshaw, stop Jack Conan, you beat Leinster. You know, that's really interesting that, you know, Conan at one stage in the last 6 months, people were saying maybe he needs to move to Ulster to get game time, and now he's a Lion, you know. So it's just interesting that those coaches have looked at the players here and have picked those eight and have not picked some of the ones that we would have thought were bankers. I think that just gives us a different insight into the way we're perceived and how Irish rugby is perceived from the outside.
So a few interesting cases there, Keith, to get your thoughts on James Ryan. And this is just an aside, and I'm not reading too much into it, but I do, and I remember thinking it was interesting on the night, and it came back to me this week when Warren Gatland was in studio with me promoting his book, whenever that was. It was certainly at the height of James Ryan fever. We were like, this guy is the bee's knees. And I do remember asking him, Irish players with a view to the Lions, I know it's a bit away, but you know, who's kind of caught your eye? And he gave a couple of names, and I had to say, because I fully expected him to say, well, James Ryan, everyone's very excited about Ryan. And I remember distinctly having to say, and James Ryan? And he was like, oh yeah, Ryan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, it wasn't a, I've been blown away by this kid kind of a thing. How unfairly or otherwise has Ryan been treated?
Yeah, it's funny, and I might get criticism for this, but I don't play the nationality card when it goes to Lions, and the second that they meet up, they're Lions. And we used to often get discussed, well, what about the Irish Lions? There's no such thing, actually. Just like there's no such thing as British Lions, but they are mixtures of four countries. So I think it goes down again to the coach. You know, you can disagree with the coach as to what he has done or what he hasn't done, and you think that some people are unfairly viewed or not viewed. I look at James Ryan. I think James Ryan was absolutely stunning when he came on the scene. Stunning. Mm. And I think he is a pure quality player. And if you remember rightly, I would have urged caution consistently for James Ryan.
Yeah.
Not to play 80 minutes, not to play every game, because he isn't a very large frame. He's a big man compared to people on the street, but he's not a big, big man to what we're actually discussing to go down to South Africa. And I think he's got a bit bashed up lately, but I also think he's played a huge amount of rugby by the age of 24. All of those games are of test quality, European knockout matches, you know, huge games. He is playing a game as a style, as a ball carrier. I don't know that he's necessarily the size or the power for a ball carrier. And I think that takes it back. You want him to be the guy that wins every ruck, is clears out absolutely everything, wins every lineout, pushes like a tank. Mm. But I don't know that you necessarily want him to be an enforcer, because I don't think that's the sort of player he is. So for that reason alone, I think he was under an element of risk. I said last week or 2 weeks ago when we were talking that there was a doubt over him going, because there wasn't in my mind for that reason.
Yeah.
And also for the reason of the type of player Gatland likes to have. I don't think, by the way, Rory, that he will get his summer off, because I think there's always injuries, and this, he should be taking the view to say that if I get my chance, I take my chance, you know, I deliver on the opportunity. And that's something that becomes incredibly important for him. I didn't think Johnny Sexton was going to go, because I think there has been too many injuries to him this year, and he's 35, 36 years of age. That's,
sorry to interrupt you on that, on the Sexton injuries point, because again, the point has been made in his defence. 310 minutes in this year's Six Nations, more minutes than Owen Farrell, more than Dan Biggar, more than Russell, the most points, beat England, excellent against England, beat Scotland. And look, a 22-year-old can get concussion. I mean, now there is a history there and there is a wider conversation when it comes to concussion, absolutely. But Warren Gatland isn't worried about that. Did you think there was not enough stock then in the argument that actually give Sexton in the short term? Aron Nagara made this point. Don't worry about next year. If he gets his body right for, literally we're talking a month to 2 months, and on the evidence of the Six Nations just gone, that is very possible, that he is still pretty much the best out half available to Gatland.
I think that is valid if he plays the manner in which he played against England, and he does that all the time. That's, for me, the most part, is the only time he's taken the ball to the line in one of those big pressurised games. But if you take that as being the example and the manner in which he plays, I agree, of course I do. But I think, like for me, it was the question was, do I think he's going to go? It isn't even whether he's the right man to go or not. And did I think he was going to go? I didn't think he was going to go, because he would be, as all 10s are, targeted, and his issues with injury, and you can say he's played more or less than other people, but his issues with injury are far more pronounced, we'll put it. And so I think that makes him a risk to do it. He fits in the exact same space as James Ryan. He has to think he's going to go out onto the Lions tour, and he's going to be called out onto the Lions tour. And he has to get his brain in the place that when I go out there, he doesn't, he never wants to be a bit part player. So he wants to get out and play and lead in the test sides. That's the type of animal he is. So it's, look, I think it's hugely disappointing, incredibly deflating for players that don't get picked.
Sure.
But equally well, every tour that we can remember, there's just been a huge flurry of players have to go out to do it. And an awful lot of those guys play in test matches, you know. Mm. So, look, it's funny, it's spending a day standing up for Warren Gatland, which is exactly what I have to do on a day-to-day basis, you know. But he'll have to deal with the team he's picked with, and he has to get them into a space that he can go and compete and beat South Africa. And I think it's an unusual tour. Sorry, Rory, I'll shut up now for a second. I think it's an unusual tour because South Africa haven't played for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so are they going to get caught cold? What's going to happen? Has he picked a squad under which to do so? Well, he thinks he has.
Yeah. I checked, by the way, because I was just curious, because I've heard this about Ryan. It's really the first time I've heard he's not a big man. He is 6'8" and 17 stone. Johnny Hill, for instance, also 6'8" and 20 stone. So 3 stone difference there, which I guess is not nothing. Rory, just one other point then. And I think, you know, Keith is absolutely right. And Warren Gatland has a habit of making calls, not giving a damn what you think, and then being proven absolutely correct. And his career is testament to that. On the Scottish conspiracy theme, you know, Gregor Townsend in there, I'll have a bit of Finn Russell's. Andrew Fagerson will take you. And somebody texted in and said, lads, I watched all the Six Nations games. Who the hell is Chris Harris? So have the Scots done suspiciously well here? Or are we just being, is this just sour grapes?
Well, certainly not suspicious. I mean, like, Gregor Townsend is in the room, and so is Steve Tandy, who is his assistant, his defence room as well, and wanted to have him coaching Ireland this summer, and he's coaching Ireland instead. So, you know, Gregor Townsend is the coach who's going to be implementing the game plan for Warren Gatland. And he knows Chris Harris. He doesn't know Gary Ringrose. He's looking at Gary Ringrose from afar. He's coached against Gary Ringrose. He's gone for Chris Harris. And as you say, it's Gatland and Townsend's prerogative. And it's on their head be it, because if things go wrong, you can be sure, because of the way Lions tours end up, that, you know, the Scottish conspiracy will come back. But I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's just you go with what you know. And like, Warren Gatland could easily, if you were accusing Warren Gatland of being, say, overly loyal, he would have taken Jonathan Davies, who was the player of the series 4 years ago, and he hasn't gone, which is another huge call, which I'm sure on Welsh off the ball, they're up in arms about. And, you know, like, if you start going at it like that, then you can find all of these. Chris Harris, I think the centre one, like, none of us are centres, I don't think. Like, I don't really get what he's trying to do with the centres. I think he's lacking a bit in kind of outside centre quality. I don't see Elliot Daly in that mold myself. Harris is fine. He's a very good defensive player, but I don't know where the creative quality is going to come from there. But, you know, does he put Farrell to 12? And then basically they're all vying for that one jersey in the number 13 shirt. Is he just going to go for Aki and Henshaw? Because he kept going on about how much he enjoyed the way they played against England in the Six Nations. And and like Aki is prototype in terms of winning collisions and all the things that Gatland loves. So, I mean, he's gone for two Irish centres as well as Chris Harris. So, I mean, you know, it's not like Gregor Townsend got them in. So, yeah. But I think a lot of the 50-50s, like Xander Fagerson's another one. Like, as I said, with Sinclair, like he probably got in on the back of his Scottish coach knowing what he's able to do and providing a platform for his team. It certainly helped the Scottish players, but I'm sure having Irish coaches in the room in the past has helped Irish players get over the line. And Farrell even said when he was considering whether to go Irish coach in the room, because I know those lads. In the end, they decided he would be better off taking the team to Fiji. The Fiji tour is gone. Instead, he'll coach Ireland against Japan and the USA in July. Mm. Maybe in the 2023 World Cup, we'll look back on this moment as one of the moments that saw Andy Farrell take the team on. And even, you know, as Ryan and Ringrose star at that tournament, the fact that they were left out of the Lions was the moment that they reset themselves and got it right. We don't know. But yes. Yeah, I think having a Scottish coach in the room helped without it being much of a conspiracy. It's pretty transparent, really.
Yes, it is. Keith, I'm jesting. I can imagine the YouTube comments from Scottish listeners. We're not genuinely saying conspiracy. Calm down. We're delighted for you. Well, can I just ask you, because I do want to move on. Is this a strong line squad?
I'm going to touch on your other one first. I was very surprised to see Ali Price picked. I had just
apologized to the Scots, and now
yeah. No, I'm married to a Scot, so I'll have to apologize when I go out of my office. But I just don't get it. He just wasn't on any of the sort of debating thoughts that I might have had on it. And I have to admit, I was surprised Aki was picked. Yeah. I thought I got a shock from when that name came out really early. He is robust, and he will, you know, I think given the right game plan for him, he could have a big influence. And I think there is a big worry that Manu Tuilagi won't get through the injury. He's been slow coming back from injuries before, and I think they want that level of robustness there in the middle. Sorry, what question?
Strong line squad. How are we to feel about this long lines squad in comparison with the last couple?
I am a bit nervous with the centre and what sort of spark that we have there. I'm not worried about goal kicking. There are two good goal kickers, and Finn Russell can be a very good goal kicker. They're really essential. I'm looking for power in the runners and in ball handlers and the forwards. I think we are down a little bit on that. And I also looked through it just in terms of captaincy, or who are the likely captains. And, you know, when you don't really want a fullback at captain, because you need to be stuck in the midst of it, especially the white hot stuff for a Lions tour. And I wonder how different that'll be when there's no fans, or if there's no fans there. For me, there was one standout. There's normally three or four you can have and rely on. So he needs to pick his senior leadership to work very well with him, Alan Wynne does, because that becomes very important. Because you captain and you'll be followed by the players from the second row, but you don't see a huge amount. You know, you're stuck in the midst of a lot, so you have to rely on the other people that are around you. So I think it is strong. It's hard to see how much stronger you'd make it without making a lot of big changes. It's a truncated tour. There isn't a huge amount of matches that can go. Yeah. It's not the norm. And for that reason, I think it's different from many Lions tours. It's very hard to be a bolter on this tour. You don't get the window for it.
We'll have lots of weeks to talk about the Lions. Don't worry. This thing's going to run until August, believe it or not. So we'll be sick of it by the time it's done. A few pieces of news just to bring your attention to. Rory alluded to summer test matches for Ireland. Now, obviously, the Fiji tour went. So USA and Japan coming to the Aviva Stadium. Japan on July 3rd and then USA on July 10th. So that is good. And then Rory, the Tadhg Furlong contract extension. I thought this was going to be a joyous press release and right up to and past World Cup 2023. He's 28 years of age. This is amazing. Instead, it's a one-year extension to 2022. And look, I don't read all of the press releases, but I would have said it was a slightly joyless paint-by-numbers kind of a press release. Am I over-reading into stuff like that? One-year extension, a little bit odd?
1 year is very unusual. I think it's a COVID. It's probably a pandemic-influenced holdings contract. I would say in normal times, Tadhg Furlong would have been offered a very healthy 3-year deal to take him past World Cup as one of the key leaders of the Irish team. I don't think they were offering any more than 2 years. And I would say, and I don't know this for sure, but I would say he said, give me 1 year. Let's see where we are in a year's time. Yeah. Hopefully there'll be crowds. Hopefully those two games in July are perfect for the test events that Jack Chambers is talking about, to have crowds back in stadiums, because the Aviva would be perfect for that. Hopefully that's the start of getting back to some form of normality. And hopefully by this time next year, the RFU have locked Tadhg Furlong into a deal that takes us to, 2024, and he will be on board for a World Cup. Because of all the players who were up at the end of this season, he was the one that they had to retain, because he's so important to the way Ireland play. He's a poster boy for so many different things. You know, he's integral to what Leinster do. You know, he's come from outside the school system. He's an advertisement for what Irish rugby could be and should be. And to let him go at this point of his career would be criminal, because the RFU can match whatever's going on in France, really. Yeah. You know, if they want to, they can. And they can get private money in if they really need to. And he's worth doing, you know, moving all this, putting out all the stops to get. So I would imagine that, hopefully they'll get it locked in earlier than this year, because we're like, the 10th of May is so late to be signing a new contract for any player. He could do very well in France, Japan, England. He could get a very good contract in pretty much any club in the world. And he will have offers on the table, next year. But the RFU simply have to make sure that they don't lose him. It'd be really, really poor business to let him go at this point of his career.
Yeah. Keith, 1 year suggests a kind of placeholder. Come back to us. We'll look after you a bit better in a year type thing.
Yeah, maybe from both. Look, we have him. Let's rejoice in that fact, you know. And yeah, we want him for a long time. Still, my favourite story is when he got his new contract, his first contract. He bought a tractor. I love that, you know, and it just shows the difference, the demographic, or the supposed demographic of rugby, you know, that joy that he had, you know. And look, I love the fact that every time I see him play, he's got a smile on his face. Now, he also looks like he's about to burst at times, you know. He's a big, strong man on the hoof, is quite something to see. But he's a class act. So look, we need to hold on to him. If that's our... we either hold on to him, we could hold on to him for another year, maybe 2 years. He would be an exceptional case, in my view, if he went to France and played in France. I would never see us not picking him, because he is incredible.
I do want to have interviews tomorrow, Joe, so I'd say we'll have a bit more clarity on what he's thinking.
Is he? Okay. Okay, great. Be good to hear from him. So I'll get to the Interpros. Just one other point in news, if you haven't seen it, the Six Nations is going to remain free to air. RTE and Virgin Media are teaming up. So they're going to share the men's, the women's and the under 20 championship for the next 3 years. This was interesting because I had certainly heard that we were going to hear about the English situation, the British situation first, but it would seem that BBC and ITV are very much jostling with Sky Sports and maybe another paywall company. So the situation a few miles over the water is a little more complicated. Keith, I'd put it here for the growth of the game, the popularity of the game. This is hugely important. And the Australian experience suggests that putting this thing behind a paywall is a really bad idea. It's interesting. Rugby is now going free to air in Australia as of the last year, and numbers have responded accordingly, both in participation terms and viewing figures. Micheál Martin was on the show last week, and it was interesting. I laid out all the argument, and I referenced the Australian situation, and I said this was very much something that we should be, you know, looking to do. And he disarmed me totally by saying, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Almost as if we were two lads down the pub and he had no say in this situation. So I would put it to you, the government now have a 3-year window to assess the importance of something like the Six Nations, because the World Cup is protected.
Yeah.
So why is an England-Ireland Six Nations match not as important as an Irish football match or some of the big GAA days or Cheltenham? And that list is quite long. I know the IRFU lobbied against the Six Nations going on a protected list. However, I'd put it to you, free to air over the last 2 decades, and we've done just fine.
Look, I think it's fantastic news. I think it makes for awkward scheduling at times, and you're channel hopping, but we're able to channel hop from one to the other anyway. It's the big shop window. It is the big opportunity for the game to be seen. And yes, you can go behind a paywall, and yes, you can make more money in that short term. That helps tie over parts of the game. And commercially, there's reasons for that to be a really good idea. But I think it would be devastating for the sport to not have the Six Nations on terrestrial TV. I really like, you want everybody should be able to play sport. Everybody should be able to watch sport. It gets to certain levels and certain different things that you do have to pay for. But to watch your country play rugby, no. And I'm not a fan. I think you get huge numbers to watch. That's a good thing. And if you're having to go behind a paywall, and everybody's, to be honest, frankly pissed off with having to jump from air to BT Sport to all the different channels to try and figure out what competition's on what, you know, it's fractured enough as it is. Let's make one thing sacrosanct, which is you can follow your country and you can watch it on, you know, on free to air TV.
Before we go then, at the weekend, Connacht 21, Leinster 50. Time is against me, so you can sort of take one game each here. Connacht 21, Leinster 50 at the Sports Ground, Rory. Andy Friend said afterwards, the scoreline looks like a flogging, but I don't feel like it was. Connacht went 16 points to nil up. They then conceded 33 unanswered points in the first half alone. Hugo Keenan got a hat trick. Explain what happened here. Yeah. Like, this sounds like an odd old game.
I watched it on delay because it was just, you know, I had my dinner and put press pause on the Sky, and I happened to look at my phone at 16-0 stupidly, and I was like, what? You know, how is this? Like, Leinster were ahead on my phone and they were 16-0 down on the TV. I couldn't quite understand it. Leinster just went up about six gears. You know, they just went from being feeling sorry for themselves after La Rochelle. I'm sorry, this is very simplistic, but it looked like they went from feeling sorry for themselves to, God, we're about to lose three in a row here, and became the team that they always are in the Pro 14 at this level. They, it's just galling to see how much they can bully Connacht, having been bullied themselves a week previously, and how much they could physically, like, their maul was outstanding at this, in this competition, by and large, when their best players are on the pitch, no one can live with them in the pace they play with, the physicality they can go with. Keenan was really, really impressive. I know the Lions coaches aren't able to get to these games because they're mainly stuck in the UK, but I'm sure they're tuning in. And Keenan seriously put his hand up if there's any injuries to go. If, you know, he's probably next in line for fullback anyway, but he looks really, really sharp. And yeah, Leinster were very, very impressive. Really unfortunate injury. Kieran Frawley was the only dark spot on either the shoulder and his hamstring in the same moment. He's probably out for the season, you would imagine, which is just really, because he's a player I really like, and when they have him playing at 12, they're a much better attacking proposition, I think, because he's able to conduct things from slightly further out, and he put Keenan through the gap for his first try, so really impressive. Conan got a head injury, so hopefully that's not too serious and he's able to get back, because obviously, you know, at the end of a career highlight week for him. And for Connacht, it's pretty big setback, because at 16-0 up, having won in Ulster for the first week, this looked like a tournament that they could go and really compete for and win, because, you know, like, Munster are, you know, it's pretty unfortunate for them that they let, you know, took their foot off Leinster's throats and ended up being absolutely destroyed themselves. So it was a mad night and a mad scoreline to finish it the way things started.
Yeah, it sure was. We must talk about Frawley again sometime, because he showed such promise at 10, and obviously there's a bit of a backlog there, and this 12 thing is going okay, but I mean, he looks like a real prospect, and you just wonder, is spending the next 4 or 5 years playing 12 in these games the way to go? But clock is against me. Munster 38, Ulster 10 at Thomond Park, Heath. Rory Scannell scored twice. Conor Murray as well. Mike Haley, Hanrahan, Andrew Conway scored a try. A third straight defeat for Ulster. They won't be making the Rainbow Cup. Munster 2-2. I know Will Addison had a red card, and we got to see, was it James Hume came on, then replaced him 20 minutes later on 60 minutes, so that we saw that rule in action, in effect. Any takeaways from this game?
Very few.
Are you enjoying the Rainbow Nation, Yar?
Oh, you can't believe
the Rainbow Cup. The Rainbow Excuse Nation, me, the Rainbow
yes,
Nation.
Plenty, the Rainbow Cup. However,
sorry,
no,
that's damning it lights, itself. Yeah,
it lights none of my fires, I have to say. They put a lot of young guys on. They put a lot of heavy hitters on the bench. You can see very evidently Munster want to win a trophy, and they're not being anywhere near as flexible with some of the selections as the other teams are, and especially having won the first week, they were definitely going to do something similar. You did get to see some players having a bit of a cut. There are players that are gone at 20s and at 7s and at different things like that as well. I'd like to have seen some of those guys play. They took it more seriously than Ulster did, is what it looked like. And they had more strength and experience when required. So for me, it was a game not to be overly excited by. And I still sat down and watched it. So I don't know if that says more about me or the competition. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, look, inter-county travel now allowed. So think what you can do over the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fellas, thanks so much. Appreciate that. Keith Wood, Rory O'Connor. Thanks, guys.
Cheers,
gents. Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.